or text 0467 842 722.
You're listening to Nicole Chavastek.
And Nicole Chavastek with you until 6 o'clock, or months after capital cities and towns were shrouded in bushfire smoke. New research is revealing bit by bit what exposure to that smoke does to our respiratory systems and to our bodies. Sales of asthma medication rocketed during last summer's bushfires, and patients seeking help from emergency departments also skyrocketed because of smoke inhalation. But what are the short-term and long-term effects of inhaling that contaminated air? Peter Gibson is a conjoint professor at the School of Medicine and Public Health at the University of New South Wales. He is also a respiratory specialist at the John Hunter Research Institute and one of Australia's leading respiratory experts. He studied the short-term effects of bushfire smoke and is currently undertaking a study into the long-term effects of bushfire smoke. Peter Gibson, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Nicole.
What did you find about the short-term effects in your study, Peter Gibson?
Yes, as you pointed out, the statistics from the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare show a dramatic increase in people experiencing attacks of asthma during the bushfire season. That's no surprise to anyone, but what was really different about the last season was how long, how prolonged the exposure was. And we don't really know the long-term consequences of that. So that's one of the questions we're trying to answer with this new research.
So this is living in an environment for weeks on end when bushfire smoke, not necessarily from fires that are near you, but that are hundreds and hundreds of kilometres away, just sits on your town or your city, and you continue to go about your daily life, and not having, you know, many people not having any major consequence of that, but still this stuff nestling into your lungs and into your body and doing damage.
That's right. Breathing it in day after day, and you might have to be working outside doing various types of jobs where you're breathing the smoke in. And the sorts of people who are contributing to this research are the most vulnerable, but in our community, so the ones who are most likely to be, if there is a problem, to find out what that problem is. And that's people with severe asthma and pregnant mothers with asthma. So what we're doing is following up those people some months after the exposure, see what are the residual effects that might be left over long after the smoke's gone away.
And what are the early observations?
Well, there certainly appear to be problems, but it's still quite early days in the research. We're asking people a number of things. What type of symptoms they have? Are they their typical asthma symptoms, or are they something different? But we're also interested in finding out, okay, if this is a problem, how is it causing a problem? And we're looking at things like oxidant stress. We know that smoke is a very powerful form of oxidant stress, and does that sort of trigger off a cascade in the lungs to lead to ongoing problems?
What is oxidant stress?
So oxidant stress, it's a normal part of how the body reacts to different assaults on it. You know, if you've got a bad infection, part of the body's response to that infection is to produce oxidant stress. However, if it occurs to excess, then it starts to eat away at the tissue and causes inflammation in the tissues. An example to think of might be, like, if you can imagine putting hydrogen peroxide on a graze or something like that. That's the type of insult that oxidant stress can cause.
And are these the sorts of early results that are starting to come through now, that you're seeing this inflammation? You're seeing excessive levels of oxidant stress causing these sorts of consequences?
So that's what we're testing. So we don't have our results at the moment. We're testing for it, and we're testing for that in two ways. Firstly, making measurements in people who are exposed to bushfire smoke, the vulnerable groups of severe asthma and pregnant women,
I heard a respiratory specialist from Swinburne this morning saying that he's starting to see premature ageing in the lungs, a stiffening of tissue, which is usually associated with ageing, which is occurring now in younger people who are exposed to these sorts of conditions. Are you also seeing this?
Yeah, so he's talking about, I think, measures of lung function, perhaps from previous seasons of bushfire smoke exposure. That's certainly plausible, and inflammation and oxidant stress are ways that you can lead to that premature ageing of the lungs.
So is that a regular problem which is associated with prolonged exposure to bushfire smoke, this premature ageing of the lungs?
Well, nothing's regular in this type of exposure because we haven't had this prolonged exposure to bushfire smoke before. Normally, the characteristics of bushfire smoke exposure is that it's very intense, but it lasts a few days at the most. In this case, it was weeks and weeks on end.
Mm.
So the worry is that prolonged exposure could lead to long-term consequences. I should say that the other thing we're interested in finding out is what actions did people take to avoid this exposure and did they make a difference? So people were doing many different things, putting on masks, staying indoors, air conditioning. And what we want to find out is, did they find those things beneficial? Did they limit the symptoms that they were getting? And depending on what they did that lead to any longer-term benefits?
Can the damage be reversed?
I would hope so. The body is amazing in what it can repair. The things that we need to look out for are that sometimes that repair go wrong, and premature aging is an example of is a consequence that can result from repair gone wrong, and so is prolonged inflammation. So they're the types of things that we're looking at in this research that we're doing.
There was no alert during the Black Summer that the prolonged exposure was severely dangerous, Peter Gibson. People were sort of gently told to stay inside, as you would normally be told to stay inside if there was a bad smog event over your city or if there was a bushfire or burning or a coal mine fire burning. People are told to go inside. But they weren't warned about the damage of prolonged exposure to bushfire smoke. Do you think that those alerts should be made clearer in an environment where we are walking into bushfire seasons that just go on and on and on and on?
Yeah, so one of the things we've done as part of this research is to talk to people who experience these events and ask them what do they want to know, what would make a difference for them. And one message that comes out loud and clear is access to information about where you can go, where you shouldn't go. So, for example, a patient of mine who has severe asthma decided he wanted to go across town. He did that. Where he was, there wasn't much smoke, but where he ended up, there was a massive smoke exposure, and he got quite a significant asthma. What he wants to know before he goes out is, okay, is it safe for me to go somewhere when there's bushfire smoke left? But that's one type of information that people want, access to where the smoke is and what it's like. The question of prolonged exposure, about whether we need different types of alerts if it's a prolonged season. So we think, and what is the best type of approach prolonged season? So there may be some differences between what we're doing with acute exposure and prolonged exposure.
Yeah. I would have thought you'd need sort of a level of emergency alerts if you're living in a bushfire environment for extended periods of time, about the sort of damage that can do to you. In the same way that, you know, the ABC broadcasts alerts about the seriousness of the threat of the fire, alerts about the seriousness of the threat of the lingering bushfire smoke.
Yeah. So the other thing that people have told us is they hear about the threat to life of the bushfire, but there's a separate set of health messages that they need to hear about, like, is this a particular problem if you have asthma? What should I do about the asthma? Not so much evacuate because the fire's coming, but what I do about the asthma that might be triggered by the fire. But two types of information, personal safety and then health-specific information.
Fascinating. Good luck with your continued work, Peter Gibson. We shall speak to you when you have some more concrete findings.
Thanks, Nicole. Thanks for your interest.
Peter Gibson, who is conjoint professor at the School of Medicine and Public Health at the University of New South Wales and a respiratory specialist at the John Hunter Research Institute, one of Australia's leading respiratory experts. 1300 303